Why do moral, upstanding, religious people go to hell? Most do. Most do. I don't want to, and I don't dare, try to determine who's saved and who's lost. That's not my business. But I can't tell you how many times over the years, both from this place of worship and other places where I preach the gospel of God's grace, I've had men and women and young people angry. So they're angry they'd shot me if they thought they'd get by with it. Go out the door and say, I won't listen to a man who tells me my mama's lost. I won't listen to somebody who tells me I'm lost. I didn't tell them they were. They concluded from what I'd preached that they were, and that enraged them. I've had the sad, heavy burden and responsibility of burying several folks very dear to me. Religious people. They've been religious all their lives. Not enough to bother the way they live much, but religious all their lives. Made a profession of faith when they were youngsters and hung on to it until they died, and they're in hell. Why do moral, upstanding, religious people go to hell? Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 15, and I'll show you. Hear the burden of Moab, and you'll find out why religious people go to hell. My subject tonight is the burden of Moab. My text will be chapters 15 and 16 of Isaiah. In these two chapters, God's prophet announces God's judgment upon Moab. He does so as a faithful man, a faithful prophet, a faithful preacher of the gospel must. He does so with a broken, weeping heart, calling the people whose judgment he announces to repentance toward God. But he speaks faithfully as God's messenger to a people who steadfastly refuse to hear him. I suggest that after the message tonight, while it's still fresh on your mind, soon that you read the 48th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. In that chapter, Jeremiah deals with the same thing. Only there the Lord God tells us of Moab's specific sins. You see, there are specific reasons for divine judgment. There are always specific reasons. Judgment is never an arbitrary thing. These are sins by which the people of Moab earned the wrath and judgment of God. Judgment is always earned. Grace is free. Salvation is free. Life is free. Forgiveness is free. Redemption is free. Justification is free. But judgment is earned. Wrath must be earned. Damnation must be earned. Folks go to hell only because they deserve to go to hell. As we read the 48th chapter of Jeremiah and these two chapters of Isaiah's prophecy, it becomes obvious that Moab is held before us by the Spirit of God as a beacon of warning. A warning to stubborn, obstinate sinners who refuse to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The judgment of God, I repeat, is always just. Judgment is always God's just retribution upon men and women who have fully earned it. Here are the reasons given by God for His judgment on Moab. All that is said about Moab, both by Jeremiah and by Isaiah, is spoken concerning this specific ancient nation. But it is written for you. It is written for me, for our learning. All that is written in the book of God is written to give us spiritual instruction. Be wise then and hear the voice of God in His Word. The Moabites were a people who claimed to be worshipers of God, but in their great pride they worshipped the works of their own hands and refused to worship God. Everything spoken against Moab is spoken against all who follow their example of will worship, pride, presumption, idolatry, and unbelief. Jeremiah said, Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Why? What was it that Moab did? Why was Moab destroyed by the Lord God? What did they do that so greatly provoked God's anger and wrath? How did the Moabites earn God's judgment? Moab followed the way and practiced the religion of Antichrist. They followed the counsel of Balaam, free will works religion. And Moab, following the counsel of Balaam in his religion, magnified himself against the Lord. Moab magnified himself against the Lord. He set himself up as God himself and worshiped and adored himself. Let me just read to you a portion of Jeremiah 48. You can look at it later. Moab is destroyed because thou hast trusted in thy works. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Moab, worshiping at the altar of idols, pretended to do the work of the Lord, but he did it deceitfully. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. He'd been settled on his lees. I've got everything taken care of. I made my decision when I was a boy. I professed to be a believer when I was just a young teenager. I got baptized and joined church. Everything's all right. Don't bother me. I'm at ease. I'm perfectly comfortable. How say ye, we are mighty and strong? He magnified himself against the Lord. We've heard of the pride of Moab. He's exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogancy and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. Therefore, I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure, saith the Lord. Now let's read the burden of Moab given in Isaiah 15 and 16. This is a prophecy about the utter, complete destruction of God's implacable enemies. Isaiah 15, verse 1. The burden of Moab, because in the night hour of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. Because in the night cur of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. He is gone up to Bejith and to Dibon, the high places. Moab, in the time when judgment has come, gone up to his high places, to his idolatrous altars. To weep, Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba, and all their heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. Expressions of great shame and sorrow. Expressions of great lamentation. In their streets, they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. Usually mourning, sorrow is expressed in private, but they're in great grief, so they parade the streets in sackcloth. On the tops of their houses and in their streets, everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly. And Heshbon shall cry. And Elilah, their violence shall be heard, even to Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab shall cry out. His life shall be grievous unto him. So grievous are these, upon whom God rains judgment and destroys the refuge of lies, that they're suicidal. My heart shall cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee to Zoar. That's where men always go when they're pricked in conscience and troubled. They go back to where they began. Moab began in Zoar. Moab began with Lot's incest with his daughter in Zoar. That's where it was born, and that's where they go. They flee to Zoar. Religious people always flee back to the place where their religion began. That's all the comfort they have. Back to when they were baptized. Back when they made their decision. Back when they walked the aisle. Back when they decided to accept Jesus as their Savior. And listen to me. If you've got to go back to yesterday to find hope, you have no hope. Did you hear me? If you've got to go back to yesterday to find hope, you have no hope. Years ago, Ralph Barnard told a story, a true story, of a lady teaching Sunday school, teaching some young children. And the young child asked the teacher, said, "Teacher, do you reckon Adolf Hitler was saved?" This was the teacher's response. "We can only hope that when he was a little boy, he made his decision for Jesus. We can only hope." If you've got to go back to yesterday, let alone back to your childhood, back to a time and a place, you have no hope. They shall flee to Zoar. An heifer of 3 years old, that is, bawling loud like the lowing of a young heifer. "For by the mounting up of Luhith, with weeping shall they go it up. For in the way of Horanim they shall raise up the cry of destruction. For the waters of Nimrim shall be desolate. For the hay is withered away. The grass faileth. There is no green thing. Therefore the abundance they have gotten, and that which they have laid up, shall they carry away to the brook of the willows." That is, they won't have anything to carry away. "For the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab, the howling thereof to Eglon, and the howling thereof to Beerilim. For the waters of Dimon shall be full of blood. For I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon him that escapeth of Moab, and upon the remnant of the land." Chapter 16, the same subject, no break. "Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness, unto the mouth of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab, the outcast of Israel, the refugees of God's elect. You who have been oppressing my people, embrace my people. Put away your enmity against God and his people. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler, for the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceaseth. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. And mercy shall be and in mercy shall the throne be established. And he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies, religious lies, the fables of religion shall not be so. Therefore shall Moab howl for Moab. Everyone shall howl, for the foundations of Kirhasheth shall ye mourn. Surely they are stricken, for the fields of Heshbon languish. And the vine of Sibmah, the lords of the heathen, have broken down the principal plants thereof. They are come even unto Jazer. They wandered through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They're gone over the sea. Therefore, oh God, make me such a prophet. Therefore, I will bewail with weeping, the weeping of Jazer, the vine of Sibmah. I will water thee with my tears, O Heshbon and Elean, for the shouting of the summer fruits, and for thy harvest is fallen, and gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. Wherefore my bowels shall sound like an harp for Moab, and mine inward parts for Kirhareth, and it shall come to pass when it is seen that Moab is weary on the high places, weary at the altars of her idols. And he shall come to his sanctuary, come to the pray to gods that cannot save, but he shall not prevail. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord hath spoken, saying, within 3 years, at a set time, fixed, appointed, a time you shall not pass, within 3 years as the years of an hireling, and the glory of Moab shall be contemned. All that Moab boasted of, and all that men boasted of concerning Moab, all the glory of Moab, his haughtiness, his pride, his riches, his wealth, his experience, his religion, shall be utterly despised with all that great multitude, and the remnant shall be very small and feeble. Like Moab, every vessel of wrath is fitted for destruction. Fitted for destruction by his own hands. Vessels of mercy prepared by God for glory. But every vessel of wrath fitted for destruction by his own hands. This is what the scriptures teach. If you go to hell, if your sons and daughters go to hell, if mine go to hell, if your brothers and sisters go to hell, if mine go to hell, if your parents go to hell, if mine go to hell, you must earn your way there. You must do so with deliberate effort, determined not to bow to Christ, determined to have your own way, determined to be your own God. It will be your own fault, your own doing. The wages of sin is death. Eternal, everlasting death. Isaiah's counsel is given here. The prophet called upon Moab in her distresses to look to him who alone could save her, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one whom he identifies as the King, who must sit as king upon the throne of David. If she refused to do so, her refusal must be her everlasting ruin. Isaiah said to Moab, come, offer up the lamb for an offering and sacrifice to God. Offering the lamb, confess your sin to God, looking to Christ, the one represented in that lamb. Seek peace and pardon through his blood. Oh, hear God speak. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us by the blood of His Lamb from all unrighteousness. Isaiah said, Christ Jesus, the seed of David, will erect His throne in mercy, and the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Yes, Moabites, as well as Jews, folks in the four corners of the earth, as well as Jews, shall partake of the blessings which will issue from His throne. Therefore, seek the favor of this Almighty King. After all, it is certain that God will save. God will save His elect. God will save all who look to Him. God will save all who trust His Son. Come then, come to the throne of grace. God's throne, the throne on which this Lamb, the Lamb of God, sits and reigns, is a throne of grace. Come to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For myself, I find much reproof and much instruction in the fact that both Jeremiah and Isaiah, as they faithfully denounced the sins of Moab and faithfully warned them of God's certain and impending judgment, those faithful prophets wept for the perishing Moabites. They wept for them. We read Isaiah's words. Look at it again, verse 9. Therefore will I bewail with the weeping of Jazer. Jeremiah said, therefore will I howl for Moab. I will cry for Moab. My heart shall mourn for the men of Kiriz. Moab is but a picture of all people. All in this world who are without God, without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of God's mercy, love, and grace in Christ. When you behold the peoples of this world, when we behold the peoples of this world, how our hearts ought to be moved for them. What a miserable life the life of a poor, lost sinner is. A life without hope. A life without hope. Without hope. Oh, the peoples of this world live for what they can get. And we prepare our children hoping their lives can be a little bit better than ours. And we teach them to seek after the things of the world. And all the hope they have is a little advancement here. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. Oh, how miserable must be the life of that man, that woman, who has no hope of life everlasting. No hope of acceptance with God. No hope of peace with God. Our Lord Jesus gave us such an example. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, because you chose not the fear of the Lord. Because you chose not to believe me. Now let me give you five statements about Moab. And I'll be done. These five things are true of all who are yet without Christ. Multitudes are. I know the tendency is, Brother Lindsay and I have been talking about this a good bit in the religious world. Recent weeks we've been talking about it. The tendency is to presume that everybody knows God and everybody's saved. That's just the way the religious world acts today. And if you indicate that you don't, they'll very quickly talk you into saying you love God and you're born of God and you're a Christian. The fact is, nobody will ever try to convince a lost sinner that he's saved except another lost sinner. I'm not here to convince you you're saved. I'm here to convince you of your sin and convince you to trust the Savior. I'm not here to try to make for you a refuge. I'm here to point you to the only refuge there is, Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, may God be pleased to send these five sharp arrows directly to the heart of every soul that hears my voice. And number one, Moab's origin was sin. Sin. Moab came into being by the incestuous acts of Lot and his daughter. Moab was born. And Moab being born was from its birth a cursed nation. That's true concerning all who hear my voice and the one talking to you. Our origin is sin. We came forth from the garden sinners. We came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies, sinners. We came forth from the womb going astray from God, sinners. Born children of wrath, even as others, with a consciousness of the curse of God upon us. From their beginning, God said, Moab is cursed! Moab is cursed! Moab is cursed! And Moab could never escape God's curse, no matter how she practiced religion. She could never find any ease before God. She was cursed. Number two, Moab's prophet was a deceiver. Read Numbers 22 through 25 and you'll find out about Moab's prophet. His name was Balaam. Balaam was the prophet. All the prophets of Moab followed. Balaam taught all who would hear his voice to worship the works of their own hands and call it the worship of God. You come and here, you, what do you think God looks like? You think he looks kind of like a stopwatch? Here, make your God like that and call him Jehovah. Now worship God. You think God looks like a great, tall, big, golden statue of a man? Make you a big, gold God and call it Jehovah and worship God. You think God looks like a calf or a lamb or a lion? Make you one and call it worshiping God. Worship the works of your hands, your doings, your might, your power, and call it the worship of God. But his lies, we're told in verse 6, shall not be so. The lies of Balaam are lies concerning God, his way, and his grace. Lies that would have you to believe that somehow God is in your hands and salvation is by your will and by your works. Whereas the Scriptures declare plainly you're in God's hands. Salvation by His grace, by the blood of His Son, by the power of His Spirit. Number three, Moab's only hope was a lamb. Send a lamb to the ruler, the prophet said. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the only hope sinners have. He's the only hope sinners have before God. He alone taketh away the sins of the world. He alone, by His blood atonement, has taken away all the sin charged to Him and made His. And it is He alone who, by His grace, takes away the sins of the world consciously when He calls sinners by His grace, sprinkling them with His blood. He is a lamb in the midst of the throne, sitting upon the throne, dispensing justice and righteousness and truth. Oh, for grace to come boldly to the throne upon which the Lamb sits, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only is Christ the hope for Moabite sinners, as He is the hope for us all, the only hope there is encouragement for poor Moabites, Moabites who were cursed. God said, you're cursed. God said, you're cursed. You're cursed. You're cursed! The nation is cursed! But there's hope for them. I know there's hope because there was a woman by the name of Ruth, a Moabitess, who obtained the favor of the Lord. There was a man by the name of David, whose grandmother was a Moabitess, who was made the friend of God. If one Moabitess has attained mercy, maybe another. Come then to the throne. Come, humble sinner, in whose breast a thousand thoughts revolve. Come with all your guilt and fear oppressed, and make this last resolve. I'll go to Jesus, though my sins like mountains round me close. I know His courts. I'll enter in whatever may oppose. Prostrate I'll lie before His throne, and there my guilt confess. I'll tell Him I'm a wretch undone without Your sovereign grace. I'll to the gracious King approach, whose scepter pardon gives. Perhaps He may command my touch, and then the sinner lives. Perhaps He will admit my plea. Perhaps will hear my prayer. But if I perish, I will pray, and perish only there. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try, for if I stay away, I know I must forever die. Oh, but if I die with mercy sought, when I the King have tried, this were to die delightful thought, as sinner never died. Number 4. Moab's choice. Moab's determined choice. Moab's stiff-necked choice. Moab's hard-hearted choice was unbelief. Faith in Christ is a gift. Unbelief is a choice. Faith in Christ, God must perform in you. Unbelief is your choice. Moab refused to bow to Christ. Moab refused to believe God. Rather, we read in verse 12 that she chose to pray unto a God that cannot save. Moab despised the goodness of God's forbearance that should have led her to repentance. There's a remarkable statement found in Deuteronomy chapter 2. Of all the nations that Israel was surrounded by, nations Israel spoiled, nations Israel took captive, God said to Moses, "Distress not Moab." Lindsay, Moab was preserved by the special direction of God. Preserved when God commanded the destruction of other nations just like Moab. But Moab despised the goodness of God that should have led Moab to repentance. I know a good many who, like myself, in their youth, toyed with death and destruction. A good many like myself, you look at them and you say, God miraculously preserved his life. It's obvious that God miraculously preserved her life. And the fact of that ought to lead them to repentance, but not without grace. They just bow their head and bow their shoulders and say, "No! I will not believe!" That was Moab. Moab would not hear and believe God's gospel, trusting God's lamb, but chose another way and another sacrifice. Moab, being instructed by false prophets following Baal, brought God the works of her own hands. Moab brought God themselves. Moab worshipped at an altar and prayed to a God who cannot save. Moab followed the path of Antichrist. Number 5. Moab's end was destruction. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Now the Lord hath spoken, verse 14. Within 3 years, as the years of an hireling, at this appointed time, when your period of hiring as my servant is over, at this exact time, as the years of an hireling and the glory of Moab shall be despised, contemned, with all that great multitude, and the remnant shall be very small in people. When the years are done that God's appointed for you, you're going to meet God in judgment. And everybody has a refuge like Moab did. Turn over a few pages to Isaiah 28. Let's read about it. I make it my business. I know it makes people uncomfortable, but that's all right. It makes both the living and the dying uncomfortable, but that's all right. I don't mind making you uncomfortable if it'll make you seek the Lord. I talk to people about their refuge, about their hope. Talk to people about the fact they're about to meet God. Here in Isaiah 28, Isaiah tells us what I have often seen. Everybody I know has some kind of refuge that gives them a little peace and a little hope. Verse 14, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. Don't bother me, I'm ready to die. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. That is, that which you tell us we don't believe. We chose to believe something else. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Christ is that foundation stone. Believe on Him and you're safe. But God says concerning your refuge of lies, and this the refuge He has made. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. You fellows who do some building know just what He's saying. I'll see if this thing squares up. I'll lay judgment to the line, righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. Verse 20. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it. He'll go and he'll pray to his gods, but he shall not prevail. And the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. So the Lord God says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Hear me. Behold God's Son, the Lamb. And understand that God is willing to be gracious. And God is able to be gracious because His justice is satisfied, His righteousness is satisfied in the sacrifice of His Son. Are you willing? Willing to be saved by the God of all grace through the merits of His Son, the sinner's substitute, doing nothing. Doing nothing. Doing nothing. Not many folks are. Listen to me now. I'm perfectly willing. God has made me willing in the day of His power to go to heaven on the merits of Christ by free grace without doing anything. That's called faith in Christ. Oh, may God give it to you for Christ's sake. Amen.